service.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about my Tecovas cowboy boots. I picked them up while I was in Austin, Texas. I had this event I had to go to that night. It was a formal thing. I had this idea of what I was going to wear, but I needed the one extra thing. And I was like, aha, Tecovas. There's a Tecovas here in Austin. The dudes who worked at the store were great. I found the exact boot I was looking for. This boot is called the Dylan. I got it in midnight black. I wore them to this formal event. I had on a suit. And then tonight, I'm going to wear them with jeans to my son's baseball game. These things are amazing cowboy boots. They're super comfortable, and I can tell already that they're going to last for a long time. A couple things you can do here to check out Tecovas. If you can, stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two. The experience is awesome. You can shop all the new styles. You're going to smell that fresh leather in the store. The friendly staff are going to be at your service. They're going to take care of you. They're going to make you feel like a rock star. A lot of the Tecovas stores have these leather custom branding services to make your boots truly personalized. They put on regular live music and events. It's an awesome in-store experience. So if you have the opportunity to check out a Tecovas store, I highly recommend it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S. .com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this after-party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. Hey guys, welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week, we have a brand new episode on Kobe Bryant in the Disgraceland feed. And for our All Access members in our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds, we've got episodes on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains and Hunter S. Thompson, the great Gonzo journalist. We've got more exclusive episodes coming real soon, so be sure to get all signed up for our All Access content either on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon so that you can hear those. All right, let's get into this bonus episode. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about Quentin Tarantino, our brand new episode on Kobe Bryant, the sources that we used for this episode, which helped us tell Kobe's story in a unique and really exciting way, and of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more, and as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. Pulp Fiction is the best Quentin Tarantino film. It might be the greatest film of all time, and I know I'm contradicting myself, But this week, with the release of our Kobe Bryant episode, where we use Tarantino's Kill Bill as the template to tell Kobe's story, obviously because Kobe took his alter ego name Black Mamba from Kill Bill, understandably, I have Tarantino on the brain. Now, I have made ludicrous, authoritative statements like these before, particularly about films, stating unequivocally that The Godfather was the greatest film of all time. But I think I am ready to amend that and to piss off a lot of film purists in the process. I've also said, by the way, that The Godfather might just be the first great film ever. That really upset people. I think it's true. And if it's not, what I definitely know to be true is that it is at least certainly the first great modern film. But this is a digression, okay? Back to Tarantino and Pulp Fiction. When Pulp Fiction came out, you know this if you were around, it was a revelation. It broke the mold. It completely captured pop culture at the moment. It inspired an entire movement of indie filmmakers. It also inspired a bunch of bad copycats. It changed not only how we view movies, but how we talk about movies and what we expect from movies, to say nothing of how unique every aspect of that movie was, while it was clearly paying homage to films that Quentin loved from the past. All this, and it is wildly entertaining. This is why it's Quentin Tarantino's greatest film, and also why it may be the greatest film of all time. And I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious. I'm not just saying this to have a hot take on Kobe Bryant week. Of course, the Kobe Bryant Kill Bill thing that we did got me thinking about this. But if I'm assessing all the movies I've seen in my life, and I don't pretend to be a cinephile or understand film like some of my friends do, or just, you know, other people out there in the world. But, you know, I have pretty okay taste, and I watch a lot of fucking movies. So just as a consumer, you know, I'm sitting here going, what's the greatest film of all time? And I'm not trying to be pretentious about it. And when I think about what Pulp Fiction meant at the moment, what it means now, it's hard to think of another movie. Like I said, maybe The Godfather. Now, that said, it might be the greatest movie of all time. It might be the greatest Quentin Tarantino movie of all time. But is it my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie of all time? That's a different question. I don't really know. It had this amazing impact when it was released, and it still has to this day. So it's hard to argue with. It really, truly is. But let's argue, shall we? Let's rank these Tarantino films, or at least let's rank the top five Tarantino films. And in honor of Kobe, we will later rank the top five NBA players of all time as well. So number one, Pulp Fiction. Number two, I go Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Tarantino's most recent masterpiece, where he's got all of his powers. They're at their height. They're on full display. Plus, no filmmaker has ever been, I don't think, better suited for the world, the time, and place to set a story in than Quentin Tarantino in late 1960s Hollywood. The movie is perfect. I mean, maybe Scorsese with Taxi Driver in the 70s, or perhaps Goodfellas in the 70s and 80s. Actually, yeah, I can definitely make the Goodfellas argument, but still, Tarantino, this is a love letter to where he came from, which is Hollywood, and it is gorgeous, and just like Pulp Fiction, wildly entertaining. Number three. Okay, so number one, Pulp Fiction. Number two, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number three, super unpopular choice here for me, but I go Jackie Brown. I love it. I'm in the minority. I understand. It's not a big swing from Tarantino. He wasn't swinging for the fences with this one. It's a little genre film, but it's a solid double, and it's a double that cleared the bases. And Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton's charisma and attitude with Tarantino's words in his mouth is something that I can never get sick of. Also, for God's sakes, Pam Grier. Come on. What are we talking about? Number three, obviously, Jackie Brown. Obviously. Number four, Inglourious Basterds. I'm still trying to figure out why I love this movie so much. I didn't love it when it came out. I mean, I liked it. Sure, I liked it a lot. But I didn't leave the theater feeling like I did after I left the theater watching Pulp Fiction, or after I left the theater watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or even watching Jackie Brown. I didn't walk out going, oh my God, that was incredible. I left a little walloped, I think is the better way to put it. And it took me a while to catch up to this movie. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've really been sucked into this film, and I've really started to truly love it. And it's still growing on me.
And, you know, you might ask me, or I might just, no one's asking me, but I might just do this list again in another year. And this might be higher for me on the top five list. It's some of Quentin Tarantino's best storytelling in Inglourious Basterds. It's almost like his best micro storytelling. He does all these vignettes. He's famous for it, right? And he busts the three-act mold with his movies. But this one in particular, these small scenes spread out over this huge canvas that is World War II, he just fucking nails it and makes me keep coming back to this movie. Teddy Ballgame, Strudel, Scalps, Michael Fassbender's finest moment on film, I think, and just an all-timer of an ending. I love this movie, and I have a feeling I'm going to grow to love it even more as I get older and as the film gets older. Okay, so let's recap. Again, number one, Pulp Fiction. Number two, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number three, Jackie Brown. Number four, Inglourious Basterds. Number five, you're sitting there saying, when's he gonna mention Kill Bill? He's only got one spot left, man, and he hasn't yet mentioned Kill Bill. And what about Django? Quentin's second Oscar win for his best screenplay. What about Django? There's only one slot left. How can he leave off Django or Kill Bill? Well, I just can. And I'm not only gonna leave one off, I'm gonna leave both off. Because Reservoir Dogs, come on, the height of 90s indie filmmaking. In the announcement of the visionary excellence that Quentin Tarantino has, it propelled him. It propelled his world. It blew us all away. Amazing movie. Incredible movie. Even if you weren't there, this is a genre busting. I'm struggling to find words to describe how great this film is. And five feels low. Five feels very, very, very low for Reservoir Dogs. But yeah, I'm looking at this list now and I'm going Jackie Brown at three and Reservoir Dogs at five. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm altering this in real time, okay? Reservoir Dogs is three. Jackie Brown is five. So number one, to recap, Pulp Fiction. Number two, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number three, Reservoir Dogs. Number four, Inglourious Basterds. And number five, Jackie Brown. Hard not to put Death Proof on this list from my standpoint. And I know you're sitting there shaking your head. You're going, fucking Death Proof? But I think I rank Death Proof even higher than Django. Definitely higher than Kill Bill. Kill Bill might be, despite our efforts over the last few weeks with this Kobe Bryant episode and this homage, which I'm going to talk about later, to Kill Bill and to Tarantino. Kill Bill, I think, might be my least favorite Tarantino film. Which isn't to say that I don't like it. I just don't love it. And I love his movies. I think I like True Romance. I know I like True Romance better than Kill Bill. I do, for sure. So there's the list. There's the top five. I hope you're putting together your top five right now. And I hope I pissed you off with these. I didn't mean to piss you off, but these kind of arguments are my fucking life's blood, man. This is what I miss about being young. It just seemed like I was in one of these arguments every night with my friends, and it just doesn't happen anymore. I don't want to argue with people online, but I do want to talk about this with you. So let me know who your top five Tarantino films are and what is the number one spot. And if it's not Pulp Fiction, you better damn well have a good reason for whatever is number one, because Pulp Fiction is tough to fuck with. Okay, let's move on. In honor of Kobe, right? That's what we're talking about, or supposed to be anyhow. Top five NBA players. Okay, here's my list in reverse order this time. Number five, Larry Bird. Number four, Bill Russell. Number three, Magic Johnson. Number two, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And number one, there is no fucking argument. It is Michael Jordan. Just stop with anything else in the number one spot. You cannot make an argument for anyone else besides Michael Jordan. So there it is. Kobe Bryant, just like Kill Bill, does not make the top five. Okay? Honestly, would you just honestly ask yourself, would you take Kobe Bryant in one game over any of these players? Jordan, Kareem, Magic, Bill Russell, Larry Bird. Okay, maybe I can understand an argument you would make. But I tell you what I can't understand is LeBron over any of those top five. Just, I know you're freaking out. I know some of you, your hair's on fire right now. But I cannot do it. And listen, I want you to know, if you gut the very subtle, actually it wasn't that subtle. If you got the LeBron dig that we made in the Kobe episode, I want you to write to me however you want to do it on text 617-906-6638, on Instagram at DisgracelandPod. You want to leave me a voicemail, let me know that you got it. Let me know if you agree with it or not. okay? Because I think it is a really significant critique of LeBron James, and it's what separates him and knocks him lower on the list than these other players from a previous generation. 617-906-6638. Hit me on voicemail. Hit me on text. Your top five Tarantino films. That's directed films. Okay, so True Romance doesn't count. Natural Born Killers wouldn't count anyways, but I'm just saying. Is Kill Bill on your top five? And what are your top five NBA players? And does Kobe make the cut? And did you find the LeBron dig in the last Kobe episode we did? Hit me up, 617-906-6638, to let me know. I'll be back in a flash.
Hey, Discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership.
Hey, discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to disgracelandcontest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit disgracelandcontest.com for full details. That's disgracelandcontest.com. Rock and roll. All right, so there are two separate research tracks that we followed for this episode in order to combine the real life of Kobe Bryant with the fictional universe of Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill. Okay, so for us, there's basically two ways we could have done this. There's the obvious way to tell Kobe's story. And I understand some people are upset that we didn't do it that way, that we didn't, and particularly that we didn't lean into the sexual assault allegations with more intensity and with a bigger spotlight. But I totally get that. I understand it. I completely understand it, actually. But, you know, we just saw an opportunity here to do something different and to take a wild creative swing. So that's what we did. And, you know, you get enough of that sort of like straight, you know, this famous person, this celebrity, this artist, this musician did this horrific thing. And we're going to tell you why that happened. This was something totally different. And honestly, as creative people, we have to do this every once in a while. We got to step out of our lane and try new things and take risks just to keep it fresh for us. So there was the obvious way to tell Kobe's story, which of course we didn't do. And then there was another way, the so-called Black Mamba way, the alter ego, Black Mamba, that Kobe created in order to continue to dominate in the game while facing the challenges of his professional and personal career. this thing that he developed called the Black Mamba mentality. This is something that Kobe lifted directly from Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill movies, Volumes 1 and Volumes 2, of course. And we have these editorial meetings here when we're getting into a subject, where we're starting the research, where I discuss with the writers what our editorial point of view is going to be, things that I want to address, things that I want to avoid. This stems from my view into the subject, my personal feelings on the subject. And with Kobe, it's a complicated issue because I fucking hated Kobe Bryant when he was playing. And, you know, I just did not like the guy professionally, of course, as a Celtics fan. And I certainly didn't like him personally. And then I saw that Showtime documentary shortly after he passed away, and I was sucked in, and I started to hear his point of view on being competitive and this whole Black Mamba mentality, and it completely changed how I thought about the guy completely. And then, of course, when we get into this editorial meeting that I was just telling you about, you know, the Kill Bill connection, we were just like, all right, we got it. This is how we're going to tell this story. And then we tried tapping directly into that Kill Bill mindset in a fun way. It was a challenge for us. We tried to structure the episode in the same way that the Kill Bill movies are structured. Kobe as an assassin, he has to beat his rivals and former teammates, just as Uma Thurman had to do in Kill Bill in order to realize her goals. So for the Kobe side and the research, we used a book called The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality by Mike Sieski. Also a great book, if you're interested, written by Kobe himself, called The Mamba Mentality, How I Play, which was published 2 years before Kobe's death, really gives an inside look into Kobe's strategy and how he did what he did. In addition to books, there's some great documentaries that I alluded to before. Spike Lee, of course, made one called Kobe Doing Work. Great title. Produced by ESPN. You can easily find that. Fascinating documentary. Focuses on one game that Kobe played, the before, the during, and the after. There's another doc. This is the one I mentioned before from Showtime, called Kobe Bryant's Muse. That one gives a bigger picture in terms of Kobe's life and career, rather than focusing on just one moment like Spike's movie did. So it's, you know, you get two different things with these docs. And then if you want something awesome, hunt down this clip of Kobe being interviewed on ESPN in 2016, an interview in which he talks about his 60-point performance in his final Lakers game and how he compared that directly to Kill Bill. I wonder if Tarantino's ever talked about this, because Kobe was wired into Tarantino in a way that, you know, was kind of news to all of us, okay? It makes so much sense, though. It really does. Which, of course, leads me to our other research track, which was watching the Quentin Tarantino movies, the Kill Bill movies again. And, you know, I've talked about this before. I talked about it earlier in the previous block. Kill Bill, not one of my favorite Tarantino movies, but still, I mean, I have a lot of love for it. And it was amazing. Patrick Comen, who wrote this particular episode, did a fucking awesome job, man. He killed it. Took the template from the movies and applied our Kobe story to that template, the fight with Phil Jackson, aka the Zen Master. We based that on the bride's fight in Kill Bill with Vernita Green. There's Shaq, aka the big Baryshnikov, burying Kobe alive in a box. And of course, that comes from the scene in Volume 2 where Bud buries the bride alive, and the scene where Kobe trains with his cousin Sharif. This is a direct homage to the scene where the bride is training with Pai Mei. Just Patrick did an incredible job here. There's also all these other Kill Bill references and Easter eggs in this episode. Let us know if you can find them. 617-906-6638. That's how you call me. Leave me a voicemail. That's how you send me a text. Just like these folks here who cannot put down this argument of the greatest guitarist ever. And I'm going to play it out a little bit. Here we go.
So recently I heard you asking about our opinions about great guitarists. I think it was an episode where you were talking about Eddie Van Halen, or Eddie Van Halen, Daryl fucking Abbott. What else can I say?
This one from the 814. Thank you. Yes, Daryl Abbott, Dimebag Daryl, great guitar player, better than Eddie Van Halen. I'm not sure you're saying that. You're referencing the Eddie Van Halen episode that we just did. And obviously check that out if you haven't already. But just so you know, there is a Dimebag Daryl Pantera episode, and there's a lot of Van Halen in that as well. 724 with this voicemail.
Hey, man, regarding the best cover that made it better than the original, probably not the best, but one that you probably should listen to if you haven't, is Dr. Dog's Heart at Races, I think, Helsinki. Architecture and Hustle Inky, yeah, something like that. Wrote the original, kind of weird but cool, but their version's awesome. So, and Hendrix all the way for best guitar. I mean, Eddie Van Halen, awesome, but I think pioneering the electric guitar and the the Hendrix chords and all that he did first, I think gives him the edge up. But thanks, man. Peace.
Dr. Dog, I will check that out. That's one of those bands, you know, I've seen them live long, long time ago. Loved them. And it was just one of those things I never really got into it. I should have. I remember I have very fond memories about that show. It was at the Middle East in Cambridge, I believe. Anyways, I will check that out. Thank you for the voicemail. Appreciate it. 617-906-6638, guys. Voicemail, text. And I specifically want to hear about your favorite, your top five, okay? Tarantino films. 828 writes in, "Happy Sunday, Jake. Just finished the Lane Staley episode. I know the story in and out, but hearing your take really makes a person feel like they have a stake in the story. Bravo once again. My part, here is 16-year-old me in the Clash of the Titans show when they took a crowd pick after Alice in Chains finished their set. So fucking cool seeing myself there. This show in Lakeland, Florida was recorded for Slayer's Decade of Aggression double album. I can say I'm lucky enough to have seen Alice in Chains in 91 and again in 2010. Peace, Lee." Lee, right on. And there's a picture from it looks like the inside of the CD cover from that Slayer record. Right on. Very cool. From 386, "On the subject of great cover songs, Jimi Hendrix version of Bob Dylan All Along the Watchtower makes you forget who wrote it, so much so that Dylan plays Jimmy's version live." And then there's a text right after that that says, "Just heard you say exactly that." I did say that. And yeah, wonderful, wonderful cover. One of the best ever. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and I want to talk to you about a bunch of really cool things that we discovered while researching this new episode on Kobe Bryant, which did not wind up in the actual episode for different reasons. Primarily, this wild story about the hip-hop album that Kobe recorded back in 2000 but never released. Yes, Shaq was not the only Laker pursuing a side hustle in music, but there's one caveat, of course. We're only talking about this over in the Disgraceland All Access feed. Are you a member yet in Disgraceland All Access? You need to be. It's just $5 a month, okay? Patreon, Apple Podcasts, wherever. You get ad-free listening, you get extra bonus content in this here after party, and you get an extra full episode per month like the ones we've already produced on Hunter S. Thompson and Lane Staley. We got another one coming up soon on Chris Cornell and another one on Basquiat, all right? Disgracelandpod.com/membership to sign up. Again, just $5 a month. You can sign up, like I said, via Apple Podcasts or Patreon. And the only difference being that if you sign up in Patreon, I'm in there with you, man. I'm in there in the chat. It's like we're on a text thread. And I'm just, you know, not like it is. That is literally what it is. And we're talking all day long, pretty much. We're talking movies. We're talking music. We're talking memories. We're talking whatever we're going to do this weekend. It's awesome. And you're not there. And that sucks. So get in there, okay? Disgracelandpod.com/membership. $5. Get all this extra content, including the bonus part of this here after party that you are about to miss out on right now if you do not sign up. All right, back in a flash. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, there's more after party to listen to right now. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up to become an all access member. But if that ain't your bag, then number two, right now in your feed, a brand new episode on Kobe Bryant. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Marvin Gaye, who we lost 40 years ago this month. Number four, over in the Badlands feed, we've got an episode from the archive on Tim Allen. And number five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, an episode on Heath Ledger. And number six, my number is 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me number seven. Remember, no one cares about the music you love more than you do. And well, that's a disgrace. And now, my moment of bliss. In honor of this week's episode on Kobe Bryant, me reading you the lineup of the Los Angeles Lakers for the 2005-2006 season. Position: center. Number: 54. Brown. Kwame. Position: guard. Number 8. Bryant. Kobe. Position: center. Number 17, Bynum, Andrew. Position, forward. Number 43, Cook, Brian. Position, forward. Number 3, George, Devian. Position, guard. Number 11, Green, Devin. Position, forward. Number 24, Jackson, George, Devian. Position, guard. Center. Number 2, 17, number 11, Bynum, Aaron, Andrew, Devin. Position, center, forward. Number 54, Cook, Jackson, Kwame. Position, guard. Number 8,
quit talking and start mixing.
Cut it!